the young people come and join me. No young people today? Good to see you guys. Did you have a good Christmas celebration? You did?
Sometimes it babbles incoherently for hours on end.
The patient is disoriented about person, place, and time, but does respond to her name. Dr. Ruskin went on to say, I have worked with this patient for the past 6 months, but the patient still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance and makes no effort to assist with her own care. She must be fed, bathed, and clothed by others, and because she has no teeth, her food must be pureed. Her shirt is soiled from incessant drooling. She does not walk, and her sleep pattern is erratic. Frequently, she wakes in the middle of the night, waking others. Most times, she is friendly, but several times a day, she gets quite agitated without apparent cause, and she cries out for someone to come. After presenting the class with this challenging case, Dr. Ruskin said, now, who of you would volunteer to take care of this patient? And no one volunteered. And Dr. Ruskin said, I'm really surprised that none of you offered to help because she's my favorite patient and I have no greater pleasure than to take care of her. I'm learning so much. She's taught me a depth of gratitude I've never known before. She's taught me about total trust. She has taught me the power of unconditional love, and he said, let me show you her picture, and it was a picture of his six-month-old baby daughter. Now, I really liked that story, and I like that story on a couple of levels. For one thing, it teaches us the importance of a right perspective. It also shows us just how important it is for us to have all the facts before we start making decisions. But it also reminds us, and this is where I'm going today, that we have a lot to learn from our children if we pay attention. And to me, it reminded me of the dramatic scene in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus stays behind as a 12-year-old boy. He gets separated from his family for 3 days, and eventually they find him in the temple courts discussing theology with the rabbis. Now, can you imagine as a parent the state of panic that they would have been in? You know, his parents were a mess by that time. But he said to them, well, you know, did you know that I'd be in my father's house? Surely he would have known that I needed to be in my father's house. Now, we need to pay attention to his words because this is the very first indication that Jesus had a true understanding of who he really was. This is our first clue that Jesus is growing up and becoming a man with an understanding of his sacred and special mission. Joseph and Mary and a caravan of family and friends had come to Jerusalem for the mandatory festival of Passover. In those days, a Jewish boy became a man at the age of 12. Up to that point, the child was covered by his parents' faith, just like our infant baptism. But when the child reached the age of accountability, the age that the young person knew right from wrong in the Jewish faith, that was the age of 12, he was no longer covered by his parents. He had to take the obligations of the law onto himself. That's the same reason that we have confirmation at that age. So at age 12, this is the first time Jesus came to celebrate and participate in the Passover as a man. Now, when his parents started back home, 12-year-old Jesus stayed behind, caught up in the theological discussions of the time. Now, it's hard for us, as modern-day parents, to understand why Mary and Joseph did not know that he was along. But what probably happened was this. The women in the caravan would start out earlier because they traveled more slowly. It's just what we do. Now also, they could then start the evening meal. The men then would come later to the campsite that the women had already set up, because that is also what we would be doing. Now it was Jesus' first Passover, so Joseph probably thought that he was with Mary. And Mary probably thought that he was with Joseph. He wouldn't have been missed until the evening meal, the evening camp, and that was a full day's journey away from Jerusalem. Now, they rushed back, worried sick, and they found him in the temple. And he thought that they would know that he was doing exactly what they had really taught him to do, and that would be a person of deep faith. But you know, the story is also a prophecy. It was there to remind us, you see, that Jesus was born to be the Savior. He didn't somehow get the job later because he was a good guy. He was born the Savior. Some suggest that he came to understand what his job was after he got to be 30. But he knew he was the Messiah before he became a man. Now we can imagine that as Jesus was growing up, that his parents taught him a lot of stuff. They taught him a lot of good lessons, life lessons. But can you imagine growing up with Jesus in your household, the powerful lessons that they learned from him? It boggles the mind, doesn't it? The way our children sometimes catch us in those little hypocrisies. Oh, I bet Jesus had a lot of those moments. You know, there's a lot we can learn from our children. And I want to talk about a little bit of those lessons that we can learn. Now, I think that one of the very first things that we can learn from our young children is thankfulness. They are so thankful. You know, did you have the video camera going when your children came down to the Christmas tree to see their faces? They're just so bubbling over with awe and thankfulness. You know, I did read in this same article about a family in the Midwest whose son was born blind, and his mother and father decided, well, they were going to make the best of it. They were devastated, of course, but they prayed for a miracle to come, and the miracle didn't happen. But one day when the child was 5, their doctor told them that there was a new surgeon and a new procedure at Massachusetts General that specialized in this sort of disability that the child had, and they thought that they could help him. Now, it was expensive. The people didn't have a lot of money, but the church came together for them. The community came together for them. And on the morning they were to leave for Boston, the little boy gathered his things together, and he took his teddy bear. It had an ear chewed off. It was missing an eye, and it was busting at the seams. And his mother said, why don't you leave that old teddy bear at home? We'll buy you a new one when we get to Boston. And he said, no, I need it, he told his mom. So they went to Boston, and he held on to this bear. He's very attached to this bear. And the surgeon allowed the boy to keep this bear with him throughout all of the many examinations prior to surgery. And on the morning of surgery, the hospital staff brought two gowns. They brought one for the little boy, and they brought one for the teddy bear, and they wrapped him up in the surgical gown, and off to the operating room they went. Now, the little boy got to hold on to his bear all the way. The surgery went well. The doctor thought they were able to help him. And he said to the parents, I think he's going to be able to see, but we won't know until the bandages come off. And the day came, the bandages came off, and miracle of miracles, this little boy could see. And he saw his mother's face, his dad's face for the first time. There were flowers and candy, balloons from back home. And he saw his teddy bear for the first time. Now it came, time for him to leave. Doctor had gotten a little attached. You can understand how that goes. Mike can understand how it goes. And the doctor said his goodbyes and he was leaving, and the little boy said, I want to give you this. And he was giving the doctor his teddy bear. And the doctor said, I can't take that. And he said, no, I want to say thank you. He said, and Teddy will tell you thank you. And so he took the bear. Now, to this day, in this article, it says that on the 10th floor of the White Building of Massachusetts General Hospital, there is a teddy bear displayed there. And it's bursting at the seams, and it has a chewed-off ear and one eye missing, and there is a sign under it that is handwritten by the surgeon, and it reads, this is the highest fee I have ever received for professional services rendered. This little boy was so thrilled that he could see, he gave his most prized possession. Now, there's a name for that. And the name for that is thanksgiving. You know, it's having an attitude of gratitude. Now, of course, that kind of appreciation has to be learned. But when our children learn it very, very young and then do it and then teach it back to us, we are touched and we are moved. The beauty and the power and the importance and the necessity of living lives of gratitude. Those are lessons we can learn from our children. Those are God lessons we can learn from our children. Now the second thing is, from our children, I think we learn is unconditional love, and I can only tell you about my own experience. I've been a migraine sufferer for years. Now I don't get them very much anymore, maybe two a year, but when the kids were little I got them all the time. Now for those of you who are fellow sufferers, you know that when you get one, your world stops, and you go into a dark place where what you really want to do is set a heavy piece of furniture on your head. Now, when Greg was very small, this was before he went to school, I think he was about four, everyone else would leave me alone because it was just so much more safe to leave me alone. But Greg would come in, and he would always sit by my side quietly, and he would hold my hand. And I have to tell you, that didn't always feel good. But he was so faithful to come and sit by my side and to hold my hand. And he would say, "Does that make you feel better, Mommy?" And I would put a cold rag on my head. Those of you who know how this works, you understand why that's good. And he saw that I liked a cold rag on my head. And he would spend his four-year-old time running back and forth to the sink that he could barely reach to get cold water on the wash rag that he couldn't wring out, and so he would drip water all the way across the carpet and onto the bed while he was slapping on my forehead. That's unconditional love. Now, the third thing we can learn from our children is about faith. Faith is trusting God no matter what comes your way. Faith is submitting your life to Him and trusting Him in every circumstance. Another personal experience. When we lived in Missouri, we lived on a very rough gravel road. A short distance past our home, there was a little creek that Ian loved to throw stones into. Many times a week, we would walk down this road. And Ian, being a toddler, you know how they are, didn't want any help walking. "Do not touch me. I am doing this myself." But the road was very rough. And I would walk behind Ian and John, and every time Ian would stumble, he would never look up. He would just raise up his hand and know that John's hand was there. He wouldn't look up to find him. He just knew he was there. That's faith. The pictures in my head I have of those scenes of walking behind this little toddling fellow next to his 6'5" father have always served to remind me of what my relationship is like with my Heavenly Father, even when I want to do it myself. I know I can lift my hand up and He will be there. Whatever we have to face, we can hold on tight to our Father's hand and He will see us through. And there's a word for that. It's called trust. Or you can call it faith, if you want to. And that's a God lesson we can learn from our children. And I think it's surely what Jesus had in mind when He said, "Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's the kind of trust He wants us to have in Him. Learning from our children is so important because our children have so much to teach us. And I think it's because they can hear more clearly from God, because they haven't gotten a lot of other things in the way. Jesus began teaching us when He was a child. How fortunate we are when we allow our children to teach us the lessons that God has for us to learn. Thankfulness, lessons of gratitude, lessons of love, unconditional love, and lessons of faith and trust. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, You know who we are, and we make life so complicated. Help us, Father God, to see You with the eyes of a child, to be thankful to be loving unconditionally, and to have faith and trust in you in all things. But we pray it in the name of the one who was born Messiah. Amen.